Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Duck, where were you yesterday? Yesterday. It was my 2 cents day, and we recap Kingdom Business Series Episode 5. Imagine. Well, although it wasn't, you know, one of the more exciting episodes, we did get a few little nuggets out of, you know, out of the episode, something that we always get to talk about. And you know, we talked about, where does our calling really come from? You know, the young Danita Jordan, you know, she was afraid that, you know, she would lose her dad's calling on her life. You know, if she, you know, kept blessing just wouldn't be there, if she wouldn't do what he wanted. And, you know, it was brought up by Ashanti, so brought out that, you know, that's not where our calling comes from. You know, just because dad puts his hands on you and, you know, gives you his blessing, you know, this ain't like the old days. No. No, no, no. Yeah, it's not like the old days then, you know, they pass down the blessings and all that kind of stuff. No, that's not it. Your call on your life can only come from God. He understands what he has created you for. And only he can give you that special blessing that's going to, you know, that anointing ultimately comes from him. And let's not lose sight of where, you know, that really comes from. We also talked about this forgiveness issue, you know, Danita Jordan. You know, there was an infraction as far as she was concerned by her son Taj. And, you know, in order for her to unfire him or to allow him to produce her new album or tour, you know, she wanted to hear him say that she was sorry, but that he was sorry, excuse me. And, you know, there was even this open nudging, you know, is there anything else? And he wasn't about to play that game, because he felt he was owed an apology as well. And my point, as well as, you know, our other two censors, you know, we're looking to give forgiveness based on an apology, and that is so incorrect. You know, we're charged to be forgiving even if we never get that apology. And coming from an individual that is so riddled with issues and things that she needs to apologize for or she needs to be sorry for, you know, it was out it that she was the one who set fire to the club. Now, she claims that it was, you know, indirectly her fault. She set fire to the, you know, to the dumpster, and it subsequently caught to the club itself. Well, you know, she said that she had been forgiven, and, you know, she's about to move on with that thing. And she wasn't about to make the same mistake twice, so therefore she knew that she had cleared the air with God. Well, you know what I thought about? That you still set the fire and you're lying because you didn't turn yourself in. You didn't even go to the authorities and say, hey, you know, I set the fire to the dumpster, which is also against the law, by the way. And it caught fire, you know, unfortunately it caught fire to the club. And but yet you want somebody to toe the line and to apologize to you. And your life is an ultimate mess. So how many of us are walking around with lives that's an ultimate mess, but yet everyone else is supposed to toe the line? You know, also another scene is where she's, you know, drilling, interviewing, as she calls it, you know, the young lady who is, you know, going to sing on this track with her. And yet again, you have, forget about skeletons in your closet. You know, to me, that was always an inference to old stuff. He ain't even talking about old stuff with this chick. No. This is current stuff that she's got going on. You know, so it's like, how are you living your life? And this is why we're discussing this, you know, this series, you know, because there's so many things that are, you know, that happen in our life that we just don't pay attention to. However, we do pay attention to it in someone else's life. So, you know, I'm really hoping that as we're talking about this forgiveness thing, as we're talking about clearing the air with God, again, you know, just, I've been forgiven and, you know, I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. Is that true? That you've been forgiven? Have you been forgiven when you have not cleared the air across the board? So are you saying that God can forgive you, but as long as you don't, you know, say anything to the authorities, you're okay? Yeah. We got to think about this stuff here because I don't think it's so cut and dry. I don't think it's so cut and dry. You know, is God going to allow you to live a lie? Live a lie. Because that's what's happening. You know, we also talked about her having this fake interview with her husband, you know, on TV or cable or whatever they were doing. And again, the persona of a lie. So you're saying you don't do the same thing twice, but you are. You're consistently living a lie in front of man to impress man and to make man think that you, you know, you got it like that, that your marriage is like that. How long have you been playing this game? Does that constitute as not making the same mistake twice? Ah, this Christian thing ain't so easy to get around. We're going to have to be, you know, a little more open and honest about our life. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to get on, you know, TV and tell all of your business and all of this kind of stuff. However, is God pleased with the fact that you're getting in front of people and you're pretending? Would it be better to say nothing? How does this fit your life? That's my question. Does this kind of shed a light to some things that are going on in your life? I really hope so. I really hope so. Because God is not allowing, you know, the church to be exposed to this degree for us not to learn anything, for us not to pay attention to anything, for us not to take this as a warning as to how we really, and I mean really need to toe the line. So although we didn't get, you know, the bells and the whistles and the moments that we have gotten from previous episodes, imagine episode 5 calls on us to imagine if we were really living right in the moment. Ooh, did I just say that? It makes you think, imagine a life lived in the Lord to his standards. And Level Up was our word for the week. Level Up to God was the switch tip. And I'd like to imagine that we can. Because God would not require us to do something that we couldn't. Too much is given, much is required. So once God exposes these truths, once God exposes these things that make you go, then we need to start toeing the line. You know, we're not supposed to hear about it today, and our goal is to start as the New Year's resolution. No. Because we may not live through that New Year. So imagine that God is calling your name. Imagine that God just knocked on your door and said, hey, I'm talking to you. Level up. Imagine that God has given us another opportunity to get it right today. What would you do with all of the things that are wrong in your life if you knew today was your last day? Would you level up then? Would you level up to God? Imagine if at 8:05 everything were to expire. How would you make it right with God? Let's get this thing here right. Let us be found always striving, pressing forward toward the mark. Pressing forward to get God's approval and God's stamp. Imagine God saying to you at that specific time, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. And you're part of the group that says, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't I do that in your name? Imagine the Lord shutting the door on you. Would that make you happy? Imagine. Because the word of God says that that's going down. Where will you be? What will you be doing? See, I want to be called in that first resurrection. I don't want to be on that line, as it says. Imagine not having to be on that line, shivering in your boots possibly, scratching your head trying to figure out what you're going to say to the Lord. And you live to be 83 and you never did what God wanted you to do. You think you're going to have in the twinkling of an eye an opportunity to get it out? I ain't trying to figure that out. Imagine. So, go back and listen to yesterday's episode. Close your eyes and imagine all of those wrong things in your basket, what are you going to do with it? So, today is Wow Wednesday, thank God. We're here in the middle of the week, and we're not scratching our heads trying to figure out how we're going to get through this morning, because it's called Wow Wednesday. It is no longer hump day, because hump day was always a negative thing. You know, I'm trying to figure out how we get all through this day and all. Nah, you know how it goes down over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. So before we can get this thing started with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment, let's take that quick break. Go get that healthy breakfast and go tell somebody that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Psoriasis is a non-contagious chronic disease that causes the skin to appear dry and scaly, and in some cases can crack or bleed. Psoriasis affects as many as 7.5 million people in the United States alone, and 125 million people worldwide. Both men and women can get it, and it can occur at any age. Now imagine all of those people being persecuted and taunted for having this disease, and you will begin to get an idea of the problem that we are faced with. Right now, there are methods of treating psoriasis, some very expensive, but there is still no cure. Please visit psoriasiscurenow.org for more information on how you can get involved. Remember, you have the power to help find a psoriasis cure.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes, God has been so gracious, and he's ushered us into a brand new morning, into the middle of the week. And while others are scratching their head trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to get through the day? You know, it's halfway through the week. All I got to do is get through the rest. God has given us It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And the ladies reign today. And we have a good old time over here on Wednesdays, as with every other day. But, you know, the ladies always rock it out for us. So don't worry any longer about how you're going to get through that other day. Yep, I'm calling it that other day. That other day is the day. We're not doing that anymore. We haven't been doing that for 2 years, have we? Oh, God is so good. God is good. And I want to give God thanks, because last week, this time, I was on the sick bed side. So you know I'm celebrating. And, you know, I got to tell you, thank you all for your prayers. Thank you all for your well wishes. Thank you all for reaching out and checking on Pastor Steph. And I opened up, you know, on my iPad, I get anyone who has an iPhone, their texts come through. And I didn't recognize, I didn't really look at the number. I didn't look at the number at all. I just saw it was an open text. And I hit the text, and a little body was in the screen, and it said, you know, Matthias is sending his love. And I was like, oh, look at the little feet and the little legs and the little feet and the little socks. I was done. I was so done. What a way to, you know, get perked up. You know, God is so good because I have so much love. I have so much love. And, you know, you can't be sick and be down at the same time. Just the calls, the texts, the well wishes, the love was just coming through. So I want to thank you because today I may not be feeling as great as I have, but I'm surely not feeling the way I was last week. So thank you all for just hugging me virtually. And it was so good to know that I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to make you sick. But blessings to you. So enough of Pastor Steph. I know you're like, get Vivian on here. Let's say good morning to our girl Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you, Viv?
I'm well, thank you. It's good to be back on. It's good to hear that you're doing better.
Thank you. It's good to hear that I'm not a statistic any longer.
You know, I was thinking, should I bring the COVID numbers back? Because now Pastor Steph has caught the vent.
Do your thing, girl. Do your thing. What you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we have a couple of stories where companies are caught being shady, and it may cost they may be owing you or someone you might know some money. So first we have Chipotle, who has been ordered to pay $20 million to current and former workers at its New York City restaurant for violating city labor laws. According to investigators, Chipotle's violation of the city's Fair Work Week law included failing to post work schedules 14 days in advance, pay a premium for schedule changes, and offer available shifts to current employees before hiring new employees. This settlement covers about 13,000 employees who worked at the chain's New York City outlet between 2017 up until this year. So Chipotle will pay a little over $1,500 to each individual, and is also ordered to pay $1 million in civil penalties to the city. And this is interesting because it's not just one store or two stores, but the entire chain and the New York City residents. So if you've ever worked for Chipotle or if you know someone who used to work for Chipotle, let them know that they might have some money coming their way. And next, we have several Target, Walmart, and dollar stores that have been fined for overcharging customers in the Charlotte area. According to reports, the state of North Carolina fined several Charlotte area stores because prices at the register were more than those for the products on the shelves. They say that the State Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services stated that 61 North Carolina stores were ordered to pay fines for price scanning errors in 32 countries. So the stores in question are Target, Walmart, and Dollar General. State Inspector Chad Parker said constant rising prices and staffing shortages could cause confusion, but says he believes that fines will encourage stores to verify prices on shelves with the price at checkout. And their advice to us customers is to take photos of the stickers on the store shelves and then compare those prices to the register on or on your receipt when you get home. And if you catch the error at the store, ask for a price adjustment. And if it happens repeatedly at the same store, you may want to call for an inspection. And I have to say, I will definitely be paying attention after hearing this story because I recently went to a Giant supermarket out here in PA, and they had bread listed on sale 2 for $6. But when I got to the register didn't take off enough money. Call the lady over, and you know when you call these people, their math ain't always right. So now that I'm hearing this, I'm definitely thinking that it may be on purpose because you see the sale and you're like, oh, instead of me buying one, I might as well buy the two and get the sale. But then you get to the register and you're not getting the sale price. So please pay attention because times is hard. These prices are already high. And for them to be trying to get us like this is just real unfortunate. Our next story is very interesting. We know that society has made some changes in order to include individuals from all walks of life. But now we have this story where New York is replacing the word and or term inmate with incarcerated individual in state law. They're saying that the change is designed to, quote, reduce harmful stigma against incarcerated people by correcting outdated terminology used to refer incarcerated individuals in state law, end quote. They are also removing the usage of the words felon, prisoner, and or convict and using justice-involved individuals. Governor Hochul says in New York, we're doing everything in our power to show that justice and safety can go hand in hand. We can make our streets and communities safer by giving justice-involved individuals the chance to complete their rehabilitation program and work at the same time. By treating all New Yorkers with dignity and respect, we can improve public safety while ensuring New Yorkers have a fair shot at a second chance. End quote. This law was sponsored by a Senator Rivera, who also says, quote, the use of the word inmate further dehumanizes and demoralizes them. This is another concrete step our state is taking to make our criminal justice system one that focuses on rehabilitation rather than relying solely on punishment. End quote. So my question is, how does this changing the terminology help these quote-unquote justice-involved individuals get a job once they get out? How does it help them find a place to stay? How does it help them stay off drugs? Or how does it help them not turn back to the streets because they can't find a job, can't find a place to stay? I just don't see the point in changing the names of what we're calling these people rather than putting some things in place that would actually help them once they get out. I think this was a waste of time and a waste of ink for them to be signing this into law, but I guess maybe it's a start. I don't know. And lastly, we have a story we have heard far too often. A child is now gone due to parent neglect. 4-year-old Kendall Lewis is dead after she accidentally shot herself with a gun she found in her mom's car while her mom was driving her out in Atlanta. According to investigators, the girl's mother, identified as Kaylin Lewis, was driving when her daughter found a firearm in the back seat and pulled the trigger, hitting herself. Police pronounced 4-year-old Kendall Lewis dead at the scene and arrested Kaylin Lewis for second-degree cruelty to children. And at last report, Kaylin Lewis was in custody at the DeKalb County Jail. And now we have our wow story of the week. This is somewhat an update on a story that we have been covering here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph and on Socially Conscious, involving the woman who was pretty much responsible for the Emmett Till death. They're saying that the woman has gone to trial and a grand jury has declined to indict her. Reports say that after hearing more than 7 hours of testimony from investigators and witnesses, a LaFleur County grand jury last week determined there was insufficient evidence to indict Carolyn Bryant Donham on charges of kidnapping and manslaughter. The district attorney, Dwayne Richardson, said in a news release Tuesday. Reports say that prosecutors could not prove without a shadow of a doubt that she lied to the FBI. In an unpublished memoir obtained last month, Dunham, the woman, said in her memoir that when her husband and her brother-in-law came with the boy and asked her to identify him, she denied that it was him and says in this memoir that it was actually Emmett Till who gave himself up by saying, yeah, I'm the guy you're looking for. She claimed that he was the one who volunteered this information. So my question is, are we really surprised? Don't get me wrong. It would have been nice to see justice, even at her old age and saying that she's going through cancer treatments and everything else like that. It would have been nice, but me, for one, I'm not really surprised that we're not seeing her being indicted for these charges. And at the end of all of this, I just wanted to promote the Till movie that is coming out. I saw previews of it when I went to the movies this past weekend, and it's the story of Mammy Till, the mother, who, you know, it's just the story of how she went and found her son and how she had the open casket and she was fighting for justice. It looks like a really good movie. It has a lot of black producers and black writers and everything like that. The movie is supposed to be coming out October 14th of 2022. One of the executive producers is Whoopi Goldberg, and a lot of other black directors and things like that. So I just wanted to promote the movie. I hope that we can all go out and support it after hearing this tragic end to this tragic story. And it's just unfortunate, but like I said, I'm not really surprised. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories that you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. I got a question. In the inmate replacement, the terminology, the second part, felon, prison, and what else, what was the third one? I'm sorry.
Inmate.
No, that was the first one. It says inmate was replaced with incarcerated individual, and then you had a second where was justice involved individual. What were those? Were there three titles?
All right, let me go back. They're also removing the usage of felon, prisoner, and convict.
Oh, convict. That's the one. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. You came back with some doozies. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for giving us our socially conscious segment, which you do so well. We pray you have a blessed day. Please hang around just in case we have any questions.
Okay.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
All right. Woo, all right. We got some stories to talk about this morning. Let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha. Good morning, Elder Nitesha Moore. How are you?
Good morning. I am great. Thank you so much. It's so good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you so very much. It's good to be heard, as they say. And I was just telling everybody that I opened up an email without a text message without really looking. I just saw this open, these open text messages, and when I pressed it, I saw this little body. The feet were killing me. This little body, as Matthias sends, you know, warm hugs and kisses, so forth and so on, you know, excuse the verbiage, but I was like, oh, look at this little body here. Thank you so much for, you know, putting his little face and little, the socks were killing me. The socks were killing me. The little feet. I was done. Thank you so much. How is little Matthias?
He is great. The absolute love of my life. He is good. He's growing well. He's now just 8 pounds. So he's getting big. Oh. He's growing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Giving God thanks for his development. And I wanted to, you know, this morning I woke up and I just happened to look over at the iPad, and I saw your name. So I wanted to give you another opportunity to just tell everybody about your morning prayer.
Amen. It's actually something that the Lord has laid on my heart, along with so many intercessors during this time. I believe that God is calling intercessors to pray outwardly into what just really seems a mess, right? This world is a mess. Social media can be a mess. And so every Wednesday at about 6:15, I go on Facebook Live and I'll pray for about 15 to 20 minutes or so, just leading people in prayer, offering hope on Wednesday morning. So that is something that I do, you know, practically every Wednesday. And again, its assignment is to really just declare hope and freedom and declare the gospel message onto a platform that is used for so many other things. I believe that God is calling the intercessors to pray outwardly in this day and time.
Amen. 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 So giving God thanks for this woman of God who is offering some hope through prayer on Wednesday morning. And when I woke up and I looked over and you were saying, see ya. I was like, dang. So I missed it this morning, but I'm going to make a conscientious effort to do like I do with Pastor Kim on Sabbath morning. And I'll give her, when she is on, I'll give her an opportunity to talk about her ministry as well. But giving God thanks that you all can hear our women of worship. You know, they have their own individual ministries long before they became a G-Town crew member. So please, please take up on what God has to offer from them directly. This is a Facebook Live prayer moment. And if you don't have Facebook Live, is there any other way, Elder Nikesha, that anyone can actually get access to you? Because I know a few people who don't have Facebook, but may want to just be blessed by your prayer time.
Yeah, currently I do not. But you know what? That's something I can work on. And so stay tuned. We will definitely try to see how and what platforms to be able to use to make it available.
Amen. 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 Thank you again so much for being a blessing to the people of God, and we will pray for your continual strength and endurance in the Lord so that we can, you know, be, you know, have that added blessing, have that added blessing in our lives. Thank you. So, Elder Nikesha, what are we talking about this morning? Vivian gave us a few things, minus our latter, you know, the last wow story. What you got?
You know what? I would like to talk about the changing of the names for the justice involved individuals. You know, there's a brother who's a member of our church, Brother Marvin, who was formerly incarcerated and who is doing this work. And he shared with our church on Sunday how excited he was about this, because he is an advocate and he advocates on the federal level. So he's usually a representative speaking to elected officials and speaking to our government officials about the need for incarcerated individuals once they are released from prison. And so he was so excited about this from the perspective of that it's the first step towards them being treated humane, right? And so it puts me in the mindset of how when we think about us as a people and how it took steps, we had to first convince people that we were human, right? And so that's where the birthing of the Martin Luther King, one of those great marches where they held up the sign, I am a man, you know what I mean? And then you had, you know, Sojourner Truth, who, you know, ain't I a woman, right? So we had to establish our humanity
in order for us to arrive at a place of justice. And so for him, the way that he explained it to us is that this is the first step in them being treated as humans, that as long as they were inmates, as long as they were considered felons, it took away their humanity and the understanding of their basic human needs, even after they've served their time for their crime. And so for him, this was the first step of them being seen as human. So, you know, I'm really, really grateful for that work, and our church is now also supporting him and getting involved in that work. We're pulling together resources so that we can have a directory for those individuals who are, you know, formerly incarcerated, so that they can have community around them to help them get on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, amen. You know, I was listening to Vivian, and as she was talking, I came up with the same question she did. You know, it's wonderful that, you know, they're changing terminology. And I also thought, as she was talking, Elder Nitesha, you know, giving us this story, I also thought about how, we were colored and, you know, we were Negroes and, you know, so the evolving of the terminology, you know, in regards to this particular race. And my bigger concern, like she mentioned, is, all right, so we now change these terminologies. Now, what are you doing in government to now push for their lives? How are you changing their you know, the things that they have accessible to them? You know, it's one will change the name. However, are they still going to have the same amount of difficulty finding a job? Are they still going to have the same amount of difficulty getting housing? Are they still, you know, I'm hoping, and my prayer is that they partner the change in name along with the change in opportunity, and that all of this works in tandem. That you don't just, you know, put this name change out there and then that's where it ends. They still, because it doesn't expunge the record, you know, it just changes what, you know, what they were labeled as. So now my prayer is, okay, well, that's the beginning. Let's push. So I will publicly say, you know, I've been talking about this since back in the early 2000s about this community that helps the, you know, the formerly incarcerated. So again, I will go further. I will publicly say, as a New York-based ministry, that we will partner with you because we need to be together in all five boroughs. You know, everybody who comes out is not going to everybody who's coming out is not going to Brooklyn. Everybody who's coming out is not going to Staten Island. So we need to join hands, whole hearts. So put us down. You know, as a community ministry that will definitely help to, you know, close in those four corners and help to support, you know, everyone who is coming out of, you know, prison, no matter how long they've been inside, but whatever we can do to help. So, because we need to band together. So, you know, amen. Amen to what you're doing. And we are definitely willing to partner with anyone who is doing what they need to do to help our community members move forward. So amen to you. Amen to your ministry. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We're going to have Vivian read another one of the stories that Shantice does not take for Pastor Kim. And let's say good morning to Shantice first. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
Ooh, you brought out a pretty tale this morning, right? how are you today? Me like to ask?
Fine, thank you.
Very well, very well. I'm so happy to hear. Thank you very much for joining us today. Well, which story do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about how these kids be finding these random guns and killing themselves. I think this is a setup by the man. to take out our young people, because I'm really not. First, all the parents were supposedly forgetting their kids in the vehicles all day. How convenient. And now all these kids are finding these guns and killing themselves. It's like, I know we living around a lot of slowness now, but everybody isn't doing this by accident. Like, this is just beyond dumb at this point. I would really love to know how this easily, because if I heard the story correctly, the baby just got in the back seat, and the next thing you know, bam, they're dead. So did you have it on a hook behind the driver's seat? Like, where was the gun?
Explain to us what you mean when you say a set up by the man, because you need to clarify that for me.
Okay, because remember there was an epidemic, about two years ago, where everyone was just leaving their child. Everyone was forgetting their child in the car for, like, whole work shifts. You know, went to work, took a lunch break, probably took a coffee break, all that last, went to the water cooler, gossip, and then, oh, my child, right? That was something that was going on. Now it's like everyone's child somehow is getting a hold of a gun and now either killing themselves and or either another child or someone else. And it's like, how is it that all of these things are so coincidental? That's why I say I understand we're living around a lot of slowness, meaning there's a lot of slow people walking these streets now. But everybody isn't that negligent. How is it that these children are getting a hold to these guns so easily like this?
So are you saying that these guns are purposely left in the back of these cars or wherever these children are finding the guns, and this is their silent way of offing their children?
Yeah, the same way I felt like it was they were silently offing their kids when the kids were dying from being locked up in a hot car all day. Everyone isn't doing this by accident. I refuse to believe that everyone, unless all y'all rallied up and say, okay, so on accident on Tuesday or this week, we all going to forget our kids in the car. And then we're going to come back and see who still got a kid by next week. Because this is just dumb. I really don't understand. That's what I was like. So if I heard the story correctly, y'all got in the car, you put the baby in the back seat, then before you knew it, baby done shot and killed themselves. Where was the gun? Was it on a hook behind the seat? Was it like, how? How are they getting a hold to, how now everyone just conveniently has a gun and is left carelessly in reach of these babies? How?
I mean, it definitely is a question that begs an answer, because as you said, I would say in the last 9 months or so, we have covered quite a bit of this. Arbitrary finding of a gun. You know, we talked about the sheriff's child, a grandchild or relative who found the gun in another police officer's car, unmarked car. That is, we've talked about the child in Walmart, in the Walmart parking lot. We've covered over on this broadcast, we have covered quite a few stories of this arbitrary finding of, you know, of the guns, and now the children, you know, playing with the gun, getting access to the gun, you know, now, you know, this is unfortunate where there's another life ending, you know, and a child's life at that, you know. So it really just lends to a bigger awareness of the carelessness of these people who have these guns. You know, we've been talking about this gun ownership, you know, for a while, of, you know, these gun laws having nothing to do with things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Having absolutely nothing to do with things like this. And, you know, I can't imagine, you know, back in the day, everything is different now. You know, back in the day when you were, you know, homosexual, you were in the closet. Back in the day when you did stuff that nobody approved of or people were frowned upon, that was in the closet. Years ago, when you walked past the church, you know, they made the sign of a cross, or they put the Bible in their jacket, or they didn't curse, or, you know, now it doesn't matter. This is just an involvement, in my opinion, of just carelessness. And unfortunately, it always seems as though once you hear about one, then you hear about two, then you hear about 10, then you hear about 50. So I think that, you know, all of these things combined, you know, and unfortunately, our children are bearing the brunt of our negligence. So, you know, no, the terminology, you know, is, I believe it's set up by the man, you know, is not quite, you know, the thought that would come to my mind. But, you know, just it is great negligence, you know, when it comes to, you know, how you're handling these items that are deadly, you know, when it comes to our children. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's get Vivian on so Vivian can give us, we had two other stories. And so Pastor Kim can choose from one. As a matter of fact, let me see this. Vivian, please give us the story.
I can't actually like read it, but hopefully I can like give a synopsis of the story.
Sure.
So Chipotle is being fined to pay over, I believe it was 3,500 people money back because they violated some workplace laws by hiring people and not giving the current employees an opportunity to get hours before they gave it to new employees. So the schedules in an appropriate time for the employees to be able to make room for their shifts, and they didn't pay people when they changed their shifts last minute. So they violated some laws by doing these things, and now they are charged by paying these people, past employees from all the way back to 2017 up until this year, 2022, they're paying everyone a portion of a settlement for violating their workplace laws.
Okay. Thank you so much, Viv. Thank you so much. All righty. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning, Pastor Steph and my wonderful sisters. How are you all this morning?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Oh, how are you?
I am doing okay. I am doing okay. I am too blessed to be stressed. I refuse to complain because at the end of the day, I'm being seen and not viewed.
Amen, amen. Well, based on the little information that Vivian was able to give about this Chipotle story and how they are part of a huge, as a matter of fact, Vivian said they had to pay $20 million to their employees. And, you know, just because they did not handle the employee rights correctly. And one of the things she did say was, you know, when you go into any workplace, there should be a common area where you post labor laws. And that was one of the infractions that, you know, they didn't have these laws posted anywhere. So therefore, the people didn't know what they were entitled to. And now they're going to pay approximately $1,500 per person for this violation. What's your thought?
Well, I think it's a good thing, you know, that they are acknowledging, you know, the things that weren't done correctly. and they're making it right by the people. You know, I think that's a beautiful thing that they would even go to that extreme to make sure that they are compensated, you know, for the wages lost or for not abiding by the law that was set before them for the employees. So I think it's actually a good thing, you know, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of these companies and businesses are just getting away with so much, you know, so many things, and people are being overworked and underpaid and not compensated for a lot of different things. And I think it's good. I think it's a blessing for those employees that they will get that compensation.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, I agree with you. A lot of times, you know, our fast food workers, our clothing store retailers, you know, our workers, you know, they're overlooked. They're overlooked. They're mistreated. And, you know, now it's a nice thing to hear. I agree with you that, you know, snagging these people, because a lot of times that's the way they treat them. They treat them just like they're nobody, because they're, you know, they're cashiers, or they're, you know, they're fixing our food, you know, and that's about it as far as, you know, they're concerned. So it's good to know. I agree with you that now they're going to get some compensation for, you know, being violated. And maybe now more companies will pay more attention to how they're treating our workers. So, you know, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. You know, our wow story this morning is actually one I had planned to cover last week. And, you know, as we all talked about before, you know, this Emmett Till, you know, story with this woman who's responsible for this entire situation. You know, they found her and the warrant that was never served and blah, blah, blah. And she, you know, they ended up going to court, and they decided that they're not going to push for this. Now, as Vivian said, you know, are we really, you know, shocked that they have decided to just let it go? You know, she's getting treatment for cancer and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, if it were us, you know, would there be a different view and treatment and decision making? And, you know, enough is enough. But can we stop? You know, at the end of the day, we can't stop this one. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. They've put their foot down. You know, if you're not going to do anything about this woman now, you surely not going to take her back through another set of trials and all of this kind of stuff, and she's in her 80s. And, you know, we always talk about our wild story and just some, you know, comments or how you feel about, you know, how this has all gone down. You know, is this justice not served? Surprising. Pastor Kim, we'll start with you.
Wow. So we have a pill that someone was given for cancer?
Well, that's what happened was they supposedly found this warrant that should have been issued years ago, back when all of this took place with her and Emmett Till. And they ended up saying that they didn't serve the warrant back during that time because she was a single parent and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. Well, you know, our activists a month or so ago decided that they were going to, you know, take a stand. And they actually found her in, you know, an assisted living place. And they demanded that, you know, she come out and that she would, you know, be arrested and blah, blah, blah. So they didn't do anything about that at that moment. And what they decided to do was they took it back to court. And now they're saying that after going through the entire court process of trying to kind of get justice for what wasn't done back then, you know, they're saying that the prosecutors didn't do enough to prove anything, and that Emmett Till is the one that kind of sealed his own fate, as he supposedly, you know, admitted that, you know, such and such a thing was done, or I did this, or whatever have you. So it kind of exonerated her, is what they're saying. So now they're saying, you know what, enough is enough. We're going to leave this alone. We're not going to, you know, prosecute her for anything. And it's over. It's done. You know, mom has to deal with whatever. We have to deal with whatever. We have to deal with, this is the way the justice system has decided to handle this matter. So wow. Vivian asked, was this, you know, was this fair, pretty much? Is this justice, or how do we feel about, you know, hearing this?
Well, how many years ago was this when
this
it initially happened?
Back in the day.
So is this something that happened back in the day that was not addressed? And I mean, they really didn't prosecute her the way or deal with it the way that it should have been dealt with back in the day. But now they're coming back to come redig it up and try to penalize her for what happened then.
Yes, because this is a. This is the, let's call it straight what it is. This is the white woman who's responsible for this Emmett Till incident and his beating and all of the treatment that he received. And remember, mom decided she was not going to have a closed casket. You know, she was going to leave that casket open so the world could see exactly what they did to him. He was a 14-year-old kid or child. And, you know, this is a treatment that he endured based on the lie that she told. And now you're trying to get justice now for something that she did, lies she told, or negligence of the police department back then in arresting her. They had a live warrant that they should have arrested her back then that they, quote unquote, lost. But as they were digging up not that long ago, they found. Whoever was going through paperwork and all of that kind of stuff, they found this warrant that said this white woman should have been arrested. But they never did. They never arrested her because they said that she was a single parent and they did not want to bother her. That's exactly what was said. So now they're trying to get justice, you know, from back during that time. And, I mean, are you really surprised that this justice is not done? It would be, if it were us, you could have been 99. It wouldn't have mattered. You would have been sitting up in jail. It doesn't matter. But because it's her and she's on that other side of the fence, they closed it down. This last time, they're gonna address this in court, pretty much.
Wow. You know, you can run, but you can't hide, you know. And sometimes things just have a way of catching up with you, you know. Right when you think that you done slid through the gravy and you think that you done has something, you know, and justice has to be served, you know, and for the sake of the family and for those that, you know, have had to live with the grief and the agony of losing a loved one. I just think that it's only right that a person, you know, I mean, she could just consider herself to just got some borrowed time, you know. But like you said, had it been one of us, you know, they would have gave us the gas chamber, you know. But it's just funny how you see the indifference with us and them. And it's really, you know, when you just see this stuff that's going on, and life, it just makes you really just wonder, like, what is really going on, you know, in this world that we're living in. It's so much prejudice, so much you know, and difference and just, you know, so many things that are not fair. And that's why we really just have to put our trust and faith in God. We really do.
Absolutely, absolutely, Pastor Kim. Thank you. Elder Natisha, you know, what's your thought? We've talked about this on here on the Socially Conscious segment before.
Yeah, you know, I think this it is disheartening, right? Every time we see it, regardless of how often we see it, how often this injustice is put in our face, it is disheartening. It is a reminder to us that, you know, our blackness does not, that there is no justice for us, that our, you know, our blackness, the color of our skin still doesn't, you know, account for anything in America. And so I think it's absolutely disheartening. And as we hear these stories, the only thing that we can find solace in as the believer is that when justice is not served down here, there is a greater justice, right? Our God is a just God, and we believe that whether we receive it down here and it would do our hearts good to see it done down here, to know that we matter, to know that you can't just get away with the mistreatment of who we are, no matter how long it's been. That boy's death was hideous. To look at his body, what they did to him, how they tortured him, it was horrible, and he was a child. And so, you know, if she's at the full cause of that, she absolutely needed to be held accountable for it. But we can rest assured that her inability to face justice here doesn't mean she's gotten away with anything, because there is a higher justice that we believe, and justice is mine, saith the Lord. And so that is where we put our solace. That is where, when we can't get it down here, when we don't see it down here, we have to now trust and stand on the word of God when he says, vengeance is mine. When he says, right, that he is a just God and that he will take care of our enemies and that he will make sure that these things are taken care of, that's where we have to put our trust in moments like this.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Elder Natisha. Shantice, you know, what's your thought? Well, you've had this conversation a couple of times on this broadcast. Well, what comes to mind when you hear now that, you know, they've officially shut this down. They have no intention on addressing this anymore. She is free because she's dying.
Wait, I'm old and I'm dying. Everybody's going to die. You know, and this is how they shoot themselves in the foot. Because now how do you expect the rest of society to take you, the government, you who's sitting, you know, the powers that be, how are you expected to be taken seriously when you have openly allowed this woman to just walk off with no type of reprimand at all? Y'all didn't address this at all. Because had the activists not done what they did, this much wouldn't have even happened. We wouldn't have known about this. So now how are you expected to now be taken seriously when you continue to show partiality? You continue, Bill Cosby blind, and they sent him to jail. You couldn't see. At least you could see the cancer treatment they're giving you. You can't see. And don't get me wrong, he deserves whatever, you know, sentencing he got. But again, it just goes to show that y'all do what y'all want to do. Y'all don't do what needs to be done. So it's not, like Vivian said, it's not surprising at all. And, you know, you can't say, well, you know, the activist shouldn't have tried, you know, anything, because as an activist, this is my job, you know, to find these loopholes and now bring this to light and now push towards the powers that be to have them serve justice. You know, my hands are tied after a certain point. You know, at the same time, it's like, it, even though we're not surprised, it does, it can make you really annoyed, you know, again, to know that, okay, the woman is still alive, they have this open warrant, and now something can be done, only for the ball to get dropped again. And I think that's the part that will really start stinging people. But as far as, oh, because everybody's sick in some way. If you're not physically sick, you're sick in the head. Everybody getting older. You know, you ain't doing nothing, or you're not going through anything that someone else hasn't already gone through or is going through. Or someone is worse off than you. So, boo-hoo. You know, but like it was already stated, because of your skin color, she could have been the one to pull the trigger. They weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to do it. And even if, for some stupid reason, Emmett Till offered himself up, you still sat in court and testified that this is what this boy did. So, either way, you still sentenced him to his fate.
Right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, lady, for indulging me in our socially conscious conversation. You know, I was looking through some stuff last night, trying to figure out what we were going to talk about today. And I stumbled across a very interesting article. And I was, you know, I'm coming to the point where we've been at this almost 2 years. So what are we going to talk about? And I saw something that we've never talked about, and I thought it was a good opportunity to bring this up. And there were a couple of things that came across, and one of the things that came across was that every marriage, what is that noise?
I don't know, but you must be about to say something good, because as soon as you were going to say topic, started.
Okay. I may have to put everybody on until I speak. So I want to put everybody on mute until
okay.
It's time is up. Because I don't know where it's coming from. It might not be something that's controllable on your end. But, you know, I came across two different things, and one really caught my attention. And it's, you know, when marriage has become an idol, you know, when that opposite, that spouse becomes your idol. And it's funny because I've been seeing evidence of this. And I was like, wow, our ladies should be able to do a really good job on this one. So, you know, I want to start with a point that they bring up. How do we know that our spouse, our marriage, is an idol? And it says you ask your spouse to fill the needs only God can fill. And I like that beginning. Pastor Elder Natisha, get us started, please. That's a good one.
Okay, I really couldn't hear you. So, but it sounds like you said when our spouse becomes our idol, and what are some of the ways that they become our idol?
Yes, and the first point is you ask or expect that spouse to fill the needs only God can fill.
Oh yeah, that's very common. That is very common, and I think, to be honest with you, most people start out, especially if you are a young marriage, you start out at that point of expecting for this other person to complete you. You know, we have these sayings, oh, he completes me. You know, with that loneliness, that rejection, that abandonment that we may have felt in other areas, we are expecting for our spouse to, he's going to always be there because this is my man, and now we done got married and we're living this life, and so he's never going to reject me. I'm never going to feel abandoned with him, which isn't true, because what's already broken in you remains broken until God fixes it. a human capacity does not allow for them to reach that far. and I
That's
had to
right.
learn that the hard way, that, you know, regardless of how much you loved me, your love could not go down that far to heal and to deliver me from things that were planted as part of my foundation. And so the reason why we need God instead of our spouse is because God's love can go all the way to the point of our foundation. God's love can travel deep enough to pull up the roots, the unhealthy roots that exist in us. Our spouse is human, and their capacity is limited, and so they aren't able to do such.
Absolutely, absolutely, Elder Natisha. Nice start. Stantis, you know, one of the ways it says that we make an idol out of this marriage or the spouse is because we expect that spouse to fill the needs that only God can fill.
Yes, we expect our spouse to be all-knowing, to be everywhere, to be able to accomplish and give that feeling, again, like was said, that only he can give. And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, one of someone I know, and they just had a birthday, and I said, you know, what, do you have any birthday plans? And they said, no, because honestly, I didn't expect to be single. And I was so lost. I said, so what does that have to do with birthday plans? You know, you didn't say, oh, well, I don't have any birthday plans anymore because me and my spouse, you know, had these plans, but now that we're no longer together, those plans fell through. So now, I'm stuck with no plans right now, or I'm stuck with, you know, starting plans from scratch. That's not what was said. What was said was like, I didn't plan to be single, so now I'm not making any birthday plans. And it was just like, whoa. Okay, so now, you know, I ain't even talking about anything extravagant, but now you don't plan on doing anything because you are now single, and that wasn't part of your plan to be single on your birthday. You know, so you were expecting to have this type of joy or this level of joy on your birthday just because you were still anticipating on being in this relationship. So it's really scary when, like, we shut everything down because we put all of our anticipation on being with someone else, and now we can't even enjoy something like, listen, whether we're together or not, it's still my birthday. But when we don't have that type of anticipation with God, you know, we don't plan on being with God, you know, now we just kill everything.
All right. Good example. Pastor Kip, we're expecting that spouse to fill the needs that only God can fill. What's going on?
You know, God, in his word, you know, he tells us that I am a jealous God and that we could put no other gods before him. And whether it be your husband, your kids, your mother, whoever, God wants to be first, and he has a right to be first. We're talking about the one that has given us life, you know. So I understand the love that one might have for a spouse, but still, if you don't seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you know, that's the only way that everything else is going to be added onto you by keeping God first. You know, you can't even love that spouse until you know how to love God first. So it's just important that we understand that we can put nothing and nobody before God. You know, yes, we want to love our spouses and we want to be submissive to them, but we first have to submit to God.
Amen. When they mess up, your world feels rocked. You can't even function anymore. Shanti.
anything they do that upsets you or rubs you wrong, now you can't function for the rest of the day. You don't want to go to work. If you do make it to work, you can't function at work. You shut down. You don't want to get out the bed. You don't want to do any housework. You don't want to go anywhere. And then the second they give you an inkling of them wanting to talk to you, or now they're over whatever y'all could have been bickering or fighting about, now you're all perky. And then the very next second, if their attitude changes, now your attitude changes. It's like you are completely contingent on how they move. You know, that your mood is based on their mood. You being able to function is based on how they function. And that is one miserable way to live versus you learning what it means to talk to God, go to God with every feeling you have, especially bad feelings, and allowing him to help dictate your mood and your attitude. You going to him and asking him to teach you how to still be able to function even when things get you upset, even if you feel like, you know what, I don't feel like doing anything because my whole attitude just changed. You know, but God can change that attitude within a split second, but you have to go to him. But when you keep going to your spouse, and again, you keep relying on your spouse to help your mood get better or help you move the way you need or want to move, the way you feel is always going to be contingent on the way they act, speak, or feel.
All right. Good stuff. Pastor Kim, you know, I'm looking at another verbiage here. And for Shanti, it says, I gave, you know, when they start acting up, your whole world is rocked. But I'm looking at another one that says, we lose all hope of living without this person. That's how we know that they're an idol. What you got to say, Pastor Kim?
Say that one more time. It sounded a little muffled. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We lose all hope of living without this person. That's how we know that person, that our spouse is an idol.
Wow. Again, you know, you've made this person your God. You know, you've put everything, you know, on the back burner, and you've allowed for them to just have free course in your whole being. And, you know, we just can't allow for that spouse to just have that much power over us to where we just are going to allow them to just dictate our thoughts and just our everything and just, you know, you just got to be careful with that because God is not pleased with it. And sometimes people wonder why individuals are removed from their lives. And it's because, again, you can put no other gods before God.
All right. That's right, Pastor Kim. Elder Natisha. Now, we didn't went to some extreme here. You know, your whole world is rocked. Oh, goodness gracious. Your whole world is rocked when they mess up and you feel like, you know, you have no hope of living without this person. How extreme is that?
You know something, it is a trick of the enemy, and I've been there. Let me just say that. Let me kind of just bust the bubble with, I have been there. I came from a dysfunctional home, and so I desired love and was looking for love and expected that my husband was going to be the end-all, be-all, that he was going to be the human manifestation. And this was the spiritual, the way I put it, at the beginning of my marriage, that my husband was the physical manifestation of God's love. like all of this stuff, right?
that we do when we are over-spiritualizing a thing, when in fact we are having a trauma response to something, but we'll over-spiritualize it and make it sound like that's right. And it was throughout the course of my marriage where the level of control that my husband had over my emotions is what I got tired of. I got tired of another human being who experienced their own highs and lows, had his own trauma responses, had his own dysfunctions, yet my life was being controlled by his, and his was unstable. And so I had to, and glory to God, that he really was able to set me free from that, and he was able to say, no, my life belongs to you. My life, God, belongs to you. And I don't want anything outside of the stability of God controlling my life. Greg's instability, love him, but his instability could not be the controlling mechanism of my day and of my life, of my emotion that day. So if he decided he wanted to watch basketball instead of cuddling with me, now I'm sitting in a room feeling like I'm locked in a closet, like when I was a child, like that kind of stuff. And I know that may be extreme. And so for some people, it may not look like that. It may just be, I woke up today wanting love, wanting to feel love, and the fact that my husband won't give this to me has completely dampened my day. I cannot function. I don't have creativity. I don't feel love. Sis, let me encourage you that God did not die for you to not have abundant life. He said, I died that you might have abundant life. God wants your life to be completely entombed in him. He wants your life to be governed by him so that you can find yourself in a stable place. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and so the world can't take it away. And what that does, sis, is that gives you back your power. It gives you back. You can love your husband. God knows I love Greg, but I love Greg with improper reason. I love Greg for the human abilities that he has. And I don't expect anything from him that he can't do. And guess what else that did, sis? That released tension off my marriage, because no longer was there this expectation of him trying to live up to something that he could never live up to. So it relieved pressure and it relieved tension off of our marriage that God delivered me from him so that I can be connected to the true source of my strength, the true source of my joy. And so my encouragement to anyone who's listening who, you know, may have this, you don't want your life to be governed by the life of another person who has their own dysfunction and their own situations that they have to work out with God in order to get stable.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Pastor Kim, you know, they say one of the signs that you know that your spouse is an idol is when you let them call all the shots.
Yep. And that is so true. I've seen it happen so many times. And I can even, thinking back to how when I first got in a relationship, you know, with Tyrone, you know, looking for something. And I realized that sometimes we can look for love in all the wrong places. You know, I was looking for this love only to find out that that love and that power that I was giving him, everything I really needed was in God. I realized, wow, you know, and I'm not trying to be insensitive or negative about marriage or whatever, because I think marriage is a wonderful thing. But again, a lot of times as women,
that are sometimes naive and maybe even vulnerable. You know, sometimes you're looking for this certain kind of love, and you give these men the platform of just taking free charge and free reign over your life. You know, you just let him, you know, I'm just going to let him run my bills. I'm going to let him, you know, drive my car. I'm going to let him, you know, just be my everything, you know, because I got to prove to him how much I love him, you know, and you just make him master over everything, you know. But again, until you really find out that what you thought you really needed is really in God, you know, until you really realize that God has to be the head of your life. He has to be first and foremost, you know, and you have to give all of that energy and stuff that you give to a man and allowing him to just be in control of your mind, your way of thinking, your way of your well-being and everything. You know, God is not pleased with that. And sometimes he has to help us to understand, wait a minute, honey, I'm God, and I'm God all by myself, you know. And you have to, again, keep me first, you know. And when you begin to allow for a man to just be your God and you just let him control your every thought, you're in a dark place. You're in a really, really dark place. And it really takes for God to shed some light on that dark situation to let you know, wait a minute, honey, you're definitely looking for love in the wrong places, you know. I am the one that's in control of your thoughts. I am the one that's in control of your well-being. So knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. You know, and all I get, we got to get an understanding and keep things in their perspective places because, again, God is great and he is greatly to be praised.
Amen, 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 amen. Shantice, you know that your spouse is an idol when you have trouble standing up for yourself.
Yes, when you have a problem, like you know you should be saying such and such a thing, you know you should be doing such and such a thing, or if they push you or try to convince you to say or do something and you know that you shouldn't, but yet you're so afraid of them being upset with you, which would result in them not wanting to speak to you, them not wanting to be around you, them not wanting to call you. So it's just like, okay, like you just blindly follow whatever it is that they want you to do. And it's never a situation like that where they're leading you in a godly manner. It's always some cockeyed way to have you either get worse and deeper into whatever dysfunctions you already have, whatever insecurities you already have. It's never like someone who is imitating Christ and they're like, listen, you need to stop doing that and start doing this because you know we learn biblically and so on and so forth. No, it's always something twisted. And because you have a problem with standing up for yourself, you say nothing. But then, because this always happens, but then you have everything to say about everything else to everyone else. So now you have all this misplaced anger because the ones you really need to say something to, which is your spouse, you say nothing to and you internalize all of that. And this is something that actually I speak to the kids a lot about because I know this personally also. When you get bullied, because that's what that is, when you get bullied, you then become the bully. But you don't become the bully to the one who's bullying you. You become the bully to another person. So if you have kids, coworkers, boss, family, church family, whomever else, but you internalize everything that's going on between you and your spouse. And that is a very, very dangerous game to play, because we can't always say what happens when we internalize those things, because for whatever reason, well, the main reason is because you're fearful of losing that person in some way or multiple ways, but now you don't say anything. And it just helps to build so many toxic levels within that relationship. So now you help to make that relationship worse, all because you don't want to stand up for yourself because you're afraid of losing this person. So now, not only are you losing that person, but you're losing yourself. You're so fearful of losing them that you're losing you, which you need you, because you're going to always have you. And God is investing in you. And with you being married, you're supposed to be the helpmate. You're not helping him by being silent. And you do have to have the balance, you know, because I have to learn that. There's sometimes you just got to shut up. And then sometimes you do have to say something, and you need to pray on that. Pray on that discernment. God, please give me the words to say, the tone of my voice to have, the body mannerisms to portray, and let me know when you want to, when you say something, and when you don't, I pray that you help me to shut up, keep my mouth closed. And sometimes you have to pray on that, and you shouldn't be ashamed to pray on that. But with you not standing up for yourself, you're now helping him to bully you. And again, you're so worried about losing him, but now you're losing yourself. And regaining yourself, if you love Jesus, I mean, there's nothing too hard for him. But that's a whole lot of work that you also have to do. So you can always get somebody else. But to regain yourself is a job. You ain't no just snapping back into that. So you really have to ask God for that discernment so that you don't end up losing yourself because you're too afraid to stand up for yourself.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Natisha, I want you to please take, you know your spouse is an idol when your spiritual life feels dry because of this person.
The emotional toll, I mean, if we're talking from a realistic perspective, then what I've seen in all of the things we've answered is the progression. And being spiritually drained is the result of giving this person your all, giving them the ability to control you, you not feeling happy if they don't do. Like, all of that is a progression that leads to this point of spiritual dryness. So even the framing, the way the questions have been asked are, in my opinion, so appropriate. Because the end result is that you will be drained. They will suck the life out of you mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Why? Because it will consume your prayer life if you even have the energy. Sometimes we can spend so much energy in trying to just be okay, trying to will ourselves to smile, trying to get ourselves out of the bed because of what we're not getting from this other person, that we don't even have the energy to pray or to seek God. Or I love what Shanti said is so powerful, that we end up, most times if we are being bullied, we end up bullying other people. And I think it's so appropriate in this scenario, because you find yourself mad at God because of what you felt you were supposed to get from your spouse, and you was believing God for something, you know, that really just wasn't correct theology. It wasn't correct. Your thought, your expectation was from a broken place, from a flawed place. And so now you mad at God. And so now you are just spiritually disconnected and drained, all because of human activity. And this is why you've got to shift your perspective from off of who this man is. This man is human. And just like you're broken, just like you have ups and downs, highs and lows, just like there are areas in your life where you need deliverance, so does your spouse. And the same grace that you need, your spouse needs as well. The same space you need to be delivered from, your spouse needs space to be delivered. And so that spiritually draining, pouring all of yourself into a human just to get nothing, or it not match. Sometimes it's not that you don't get nothing, it just doesn't match what you are expecting.
And so when it doesn't, then that takes a toll on your prayer life, your emotions, your spiritual life, and it just completely drains you. And so I think it's all of those things, but you want to make sure that you're not holding God accountable for what was a false expectation to begin with.
Amen, amen, amen. Ladies, thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Oh, it's that time on a Wednesday morning that we hear our Faith Over Fear segment. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you? Sounding stronger and stronger, my love.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we're talking about this, you know, your spouse being an idol and how we get this thing twisted sometimes. And I wanted you to please take, you run to him before you run to God. Ah, if that's not, you know, a fear and a faith issue, and I don't see any much of it in any other area. Please help us with that this morning, Pastor Charlene.
Absolutely. We run to our spouse because we think he has all the answers, and he will be able to not only answer the questions but be that protector. So we'll take and put him there instead, or her, it could be either side, instead of going to God, who is the source, who is the one that will be able to change the situation around for his good. And we have a habit of, when we go to the spouse, because I can truly say I've been there before, where that I felt that my husband would be able to not only answer the questions, but walk with me through it, I can confide in him. And even in that deep, dark place that I was in, that he would be able to pull me out. And I had to learn that, no, it wasn't about him. It was where that only God can be able to help me in, where that I'm able to be transparent. Because a lot of times we don't tell everything. You know, in that dark place, I felt myself, when I didn't give it to God, I was going even deeper, you know, because I was so fearful of the outcome. I was so fearful of that rejection. I was so fearful of going into that depression, you know, because I struggled with depression. And I just knew that if everything would be all right, you know, if I put all my trust in him. So when I gave it over to God, he showed me where that, no, I have the answers. No, I walk with you. I'm able to pull you out. I can show you the love that you're missing. I'm able to do all these things. You can not only just your spouse, but just people, period, you know, and where we have to be able to turn it around, because a man can say, I'll help you today, and in the same 2 seconds later, they'll leave you out there. So I was always so grateful that God had to be able to walk with me daily. Every step I took, I had to say, thank you, Jesus. I had to be able to say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up, because it was many dark places I didn't want to wake up because my spouse wasn't able to do what I thought he was able to do, you know, because I was looking at man. So even in this place of faith over fear, overfear yourself, give it to God. Be able to know that you have to lean and depend on God in every way. And give him everything. Cry out to him. Only he can go all to that core. I always talk about that, you know, we want to get just through the surface. But you need to be delivered in that core. Get that core pulled up out of you in that root, you know, because those weeds will continue to grow. You want to be able to turn it on over and walk with Christ and know that God is first. A lot of times we put our spouse in the place of God and sometimes even over God, you know, and we think, and I'm talking about Christian folks, and then you think that because of the fact that he knows Christ and you know Christ, that he got it. No. That's your personal relationship, and that's where that comes in. That relationship that you have with God is no other. No person can ever have that relationship with you. So you have to trust in God and hear his voice. Let him lead and guide you. Let him be able to know that you belong to him first, and don't let nothing, no situation, no circumstances come before God. Trust, believe, walk with him, talk with the Lord, and let him know that you are his. And a lot of times we forget, because when we get married, we lose ourselves in the marriage, just as well as when we have our children, we lose ourselves. Don't take that step. Let God know that you are with him. Still spend that time with him. Still be able to, when not only just talk to him and spending that time, but prove to him that you love him. Show him our actions speaks louder than words, and that's where that love come in. Who do you love? Who do you run to? Who do you want to be able to pull you up out of this? Nobody else can do it but the Lord. Nobody can do it but the Lord. Trust and believe. Nobody. Every person that's listening got a testimony on something that they might have put in front of God, and we all had to learn how to put God first, and that is faith over fear on today, putting God first.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for that faith over fear encouraging word, and we pray that you have a blessed day.
You all do the same as well.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's get this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13:20-21. You know, our ladies, as always, give us so much, you know, to think about. And, you know, as I was listening to them, you know, I thought about some of the phases in my own life that I've gone through. And, you know, the ladies are always transparent. You're always transparent here on It's Due Time. And I give God thanks for just being able to say, you know, the person I am now, you know, I don't know that former life person anymore. You know, that the person I am now, you know, by the grace of God, I've learned so much that, you know, I didn't have to live in that and stay in that, because God continued to invest in me and really showed me of, you know, certain mindsets. And, you know, like Elvin, our teacher, said, you know, these things that we feel, these things that we believe, these things that we live, a lot of that stuff comes from something that you've experienced in your very early life. And it just grows and grows and grows. And you don't realize how dysfunctional it is, because it just, it is what it is. You know, you don't realize it until God continues to invest in you and show you how, you know, it's harmful to your relationship with him. And that can only come from when you've made the decision to have a relationship with him. You know, we don't get that information. We don't get that feeling. We don't get that understanding when we're all about the man or when we're all about the woman. It's not until we actually make that decision to make God first. And then as we're working towards that, we see all the dysfunctions that come from how we're living. And one of the things that I was looking at here is just, you know, how this idolizing, you know, the ladies talked about how it hurts us, but, you know, I want to take it from the opposite side of how it hurts them. You know, when you, let me tell you something, a person on an average understands that they're being idolized, even if they don't verbalize it like that, even if they don't use that word, you know, they know that you're their end all, they're your end all and be all. Oh, if things don't go right, you know, your whole world is twisted. You know, you don't want to function, as Shanti said, and as Elder Natisha said, you know, this person is going to change your world and make you feel things that, you know, you never felt before, and they're going to help you feel like this and think like that. And, you know, it's not good for them, because if they don't know God and you have now given them this level of authority and this level of existence in your life, then what happens to them? They begin to move away from God further and further because they are a God. And they're not going to look to give the authority of their life to someone else when you've given them so much power. So you're hurting them. And you don't think about it like that because, again, you're sucked up into your own stuff. But, you know, this is why I say we've always got to be in our rightful place as a spouse. You know, pray. Pray for your spouse. Pray for yourself. Because in doing so, God's going to reveal all of the dysfunctional things that exist. You know, you ever woke up one day and you're like, am I doing that? Did I do that? Yes. That's when that light bulb goes off. And imagine how much damage you've actually done to that person while you've been messing up your relationship with God. And can you help them now get to where they need to be? Because Shanti said it, that's when she said, when you have gotten so off track with yourself, getting back on board or getting there to begin with, you know, because you've never done that before, man, that is a job and a half. So if that's a job and a half for you, then what in the world happens to that other person? Because how much time can you actually help them to see what God has for them, to hear from God, to, you know, now respond to God the proper way instead of the way you've helped them to function? That's big. That's big. And that's why we're discussing this today, because we all know that there's nothing too big for God to do. We all know that there's nothing too small for God to be involved in. However, we don't know how much time we got. So we're going to be utilizing a lot of time undoing all the mess that we've created, all of the mess that we've helped to make. And if you're so busy concentrating on you, you know, then how are you going to help someone else? How many times have you heard someone say, I got to work on myself. I ain't got no time to help nobody else. I don't see that written anywhere in the Word of God. Because God can use you for someone else, even in your own deficiency. You know, you're not going to be deficient across the board. But you need to make sure that whatever you're going through, you're not pulling someone else down with you, because it may be your responsibility to help build that person back up. And if you become so self-absorbed in getting yourself together, then what's going to happen to that other person? So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for what we do, for the things we say, for the way we act, for, you know, who we're supposed to be in a person's life. Oh, did I just say that? Who are we supposed to be in that individual's life? Are we making that mistake from the beginning? And how many times can we say a resounding yes? How many times have I seen you just supposed to be a friend to this individual, but now y'all are bed partners? Now y'all have got all intertwined with all of this nonsense between the two of you. Now you can't see the forest from the trees. They can't see the forest from the trees. And you've messed this up from the very beginning. And you just don't recover from that well. It goes right back to what Shanti said. Getting back up on that horse and getting to where we need to be, it takes everything. And when we're taking everything to do whatever we need to do, it's not much else that we can, that we even have to even invest in someone else to help them fix that dysfunction. Because we are here for one another. Ooh, did you forget that? Yeah. We can't become so self-absorbed that we just cannot be involved in anyone else's life. What does discipling, how does discipling work now? How does evangelism work now when we're so self-absorbed? So, you know, check yourself. And always say, you know, if you got that eye on that person, be friends first. Because in doing so, we also help to understand that person, and that person to help understand themselves, and vice versa. They can help us understand who we are. How many times has your friendship been the defining, how many times has your friendship helped you understand who you are? Let's put it like that. So we got to make sure we start off properly, because a lot of this idol worshiping is because we started off wrong. Just like Elder Natisha said, you know, she thought that Greg was going to be all of this. Pastor Kim said she thought, you know, Tyrone was going to be that. You know, Pastor Charlotte said she thought her husband. Shantice admitted and I'm admitting. You know, we just didn't have our eyes, our mind, and our heart in the right place. And we made a mess, and recovering is not easy. So I'm here to remind you that not only are you making a mess of your relationship with God, but you're also helping to make a relationship go wrong between that person and God. Because if they are a God, they're not going to look to serve a God. So come on, let's get this thing done properly. Let's get this done right. Let's start today with a serious thought into, am I blessing God the proper way? Am I focusing on somebody else or something else? And I'm putting it before God. God says, I'm a jealous God and have no other God before me. Let's make sure we are not in that ballpark. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Here's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the ladies, for always coming through big time for us. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to deepen your relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where is Therapeutic Thursday? God spare our life. I love you.